ശൈവാസമുപാസതെ ശിവൈതി ബ്രഹ്മേതി വേദാന്തിനോ ബൗദ്ധാ ബുദ്ധയിതി പ്രമാണപടവഃ കർത്തേതി നൈയായികാ അർഹൻ നിത്യഥ ജൈനശാസനരതാഃ കർമ്മേതി മീമാംസകാഃ സോയം വോ വിദധാതു വാഞ്ഛിതഫലം ത്രൈലോക്യനാഥോ ഹരിഃ. സോയം വോ വിദധാതു വാഞ്ഛിതഫലം ത്രൈലോക്യനാഥോ ഹരിഃ. മദീയഹൃദയാകാശേ സദാനന്ദമയോ ഗുരു ഉദേതു സതതം സമ്യക് അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാരുണ. ഹരിഹ ഓം. ഹരിഹ സ്വഭാവ കാർപ്പണ്യദോഷോ ബഹത സ്വഭാവ പൃച്ഛാമി ത്വാം ധർമ്മസമ്മൂഢചേതാഃ യശ്രേയസ്യാദ് നിശ്ചിതം ബ്രൂഹി തന്മേ ശിഷ്യസ്തേഹം ശാധിമാം ത്വാം പ്രപന്നം ശിഷ്യസ്തേഹം ശാധിമാം ത്വാം പ്രപന്നം. വി ആർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് ദ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ക്വാളിറ്റീസ് ആൻഡ് എക്സലൻസസ് ഓഫ് ദ ഹ്യൂമൻ മൈൻഡ്. വി ഹാവ് ഓൾറെഡി ഹാഡ് എ ഡിസ്കഷൻ ഫോർ ദ പാസ്റ്റ് 2 days. ഐ വിൽ കണ്ടിന്യൂ ദ തീം ഓൺ ദ ബേസിസ് ഓഫ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത. Again, I remind you that in the whole of our life, there is only interaction taking place between the human individual and the rest of the world. These interactions are not with reference to the world. They are with reference to oneself. Now you tell me, where is the focus? Is the world the focus, or you the individual who constantly interacts with the world? This you should understand. I may be in a very big world, but whether the world is big or not, only when I interact with it, the world becomes a matter of concern or experience for me. I never go out from within my body. I remain within my body. The sun rises in the east at a great distance. Somewhere from the corner of a globe, I look at the sun and see him or see it. Where? using my eyes, not going to the sun. The sun doesn't come to me. I sit wherever I am and I see. In spite of the distance and the nature of the sun, it is I who determines the rising, saying that the sun has risen and I am experiencing it. So the individual is the sole focus and locus of the whole life. Do you agree or disagree? Now, in the matter of steering the life, tampering with the life, manipulating with the life, improving the quality of it, where should be the focus? In the individual, in the individual. Even in the individual, the personality is gross and subtle, outer and inner. The entire body aggregate is only an instrument in the hands of the mind and the intelligence. So even in the human personality which interacts with the world, where is the actual focus for improvement? Inside the body or outside the body? Inside the body we have only the mind and the intelligence. So our emphasis, our point of attention, our constant concern should be, how is my mind? What is my mind? How better it is? How far better it can be? And what is the role of intelligence in bringing about this improvement, improvement, improvement? So my dear souls, the entire quality developmental process is a close and constant interaction between the intelligence and the mind. Is it clear or not? We are using our intelligence for many external purposes, to deal with the objects, to deal with the objects. See, a surgeon conducts a surgery on the human body. What is he doing? He is using a lot of skill, and the entire skill is in the mind. And he employs his body to deal with the body there. Like that, everywhere, everywhere, our body is employed as an instrument and it interacts with the objects of the world. So our intelligence is generally used, but only for object information, object knowledge and object treatment. I would like this intelligence to be employed for mind improvement itself within you. What? Mind improvement within you. Employ the intelligence for improving the quality of your mind. The same intelligence which functions in the outside world, the intelligence is the same in bringing about inner improvement also. So there is an interaction between the intelligence on the one hand and the mind on the other. This is what takes place. Now Krishna is putting Arjuna into such an interaction. When he exhorted him saying that your grief is uncalled for, your sympathy is misplaced, whatever you are blabbering is nonsense. It is not at all Aryajushtam, Swargyam, Kirtigaram. It is not. So they were startling words delivered by Krishna. Because he had a respect and a regard for Krishna and could not deny what he said, there was instantly the required measure of sensitivity in absorbing it. So he absorbed the information, was quite in tune with it. So he says, okay, my tears stop and I am asking you now questions. See how the development came. The same Arjuna who had undergone 12 years of forest exile and 1 year of incognito life, he did not do the introspection which he does before Krishna now. Do you understand? To live in this world is one. To think about life is another. What? To do something is different from to think about it. We are grazing the cows and we are giving a number of feeds for the cows. All of them the cow will drink or eat. But the cow will not be able to know what it eats and what about it, etc. Suppose you go for a feast and you find a new recipe. At least if not you, your wife at least will find out. One recipe is there, I would like to know what it is, how it was made, etc. Such an inquiry is not possible in the case of an animal. So, to eat something is different from to know what you are eating and how to make it. So, to think is different from to act. To act is different from to think. The Arya is one in whom ample thoughtfulness is there as much as actionfulness is there. Is it clear or not? Qualities can follow only a thoughtful mind, a thinking mind, a seeking mind, a wanting mind, an aspiring mind. So let us be lovers of qualities, lovers of qualities. And how this quality can be developed, it is best illustrated in the Kurukshetra battlefield. Arjuna began with grief, heard Krishna's exhortation, the tears stopped, and he becomes an inquirer. And in the inquiry, he analyzes the situation quite well. How beautifully he has analyzed. I have spoken about it in so many places. Finally, he comes to the conclusion. Yesterday, I took Karpanya Dosho Bhadasva Bhavahan. So he concludes, Karpanya Dosho Bhadasva Bhavah Prichami Tvam Dharma Sammoodha Jedah Yachreyasyan Nishchidam Bruhidanme Shishyasteham Shadhimam Tvam Prabannam. I seek refuge under you. Instruct me as a teacher will his disciple. But he did not stop there. He made one corollary there. What is that? Nahi prabhasyami mamapanudyat yachogamuchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhuma vasabatna mridham rajyam suranamapi chadhipatyam. It is true, Krishna, that I am a seeker of shreyas. I was a seeker of prayers. Whatever is immediately and instantly pleasant to the senses, the kingdom comes under it, the victory comes under it, all these are instantaneous. I was a seeker of prayers. Now I am seeking shreyas. And by shreyas, do you know what I mean? I mean something very special. This analysis is very important. Nahi prapashyami mamapanudyat yachogam uchoshanam indriyanam. Krishna, I am suffering from an overpowering grief. What? This grief has overpowered me to such an extent. Yachogam uchoshanam indriyanam. Indriyanam uchoshanam yadu shogam. My whole senses are getting scorched by this grief. Normally, grief is a mental condition, a mental torment. When the torment becomes so acute and so powerful, then only the body and the senses start burning. When you get angry, you feel the impact of it in your body. But when you become grief-stricken, I don't think suddenly it extends to the body. But here he says, my whole senses are burning and blazing with the grief. Now this grief is my problem. And that grief has to be wiped off or redressed. And for redressing this grief, I am able to say very clearly, Krishna, avapya bhuma vasapatna mridham. By this fight, what will happen? Maybe we shall win. When I win, I get back my kingdom. So I have all the luxuries and comforts possible to enjoy. That possibility or prospect is not going to redress my grief. What did I say? That prospect or possibility is not going to redress my present grief. This grief is scorching my body so much so that I cannot take back my bow. I cannot take back my Gandiva and fight. After all, fighting with so many people, 45 lakhs of warriors are there. Obviously, it will involve a few days of warfare. It requires a lot of strength. Where from will I get the strength? My hands, my senses, my eyes, my ears, everything is overpowered by grief. They are all burning, blazing, scorched. In such a situation, for me to fight the war and win the battle, it is impossible. When I fight, maybe I will win and regain the kingdom. Otherwise, Rajyam Suranam Abhichadhipatyam. Or if I fall dead, I will go to the heaven. There is a prospect of heavenly life. Both these are, Krishna, very remote for me. What? Both these are? They are to be an outcome. Outcome of what? Outcome of intense warfare, lasting maybe for a week, two or more. But how to fight? I don't have a body fit enough to fight the war. So don't tell me that somehow, Arjuna, you fight. Either you will gain the kingdom. Suppose you lose, and you lose your life, then you will get the heaven. One is a fact of this world, another is a fiction of the other world. What? One is a fact, another is? Do you agree or not? One is a fact. Either this factual possibility or that fictional outcome, both are not going to be suitable for me. By Shreyas, I mean something different. By Shreyas, I am not meaning anything like a gross sensory objective acquisition. No, no, no. By Shreyas, I mean the removal and redressal of grief and the availability of endless joy. What do you say? The grieving Arjuna makes this statement. You tell me. Now, for an evolution, a spiritual evolution, do you require time? Do you require a particular set of circumstances? Do you require another body or embodiment? Why don't you do it suddenly as Arjuna did? Suddenly you do it as Arjuna did. Never go and seek anything else. What is the net result? I will analyze it for you very clearly. By reflection, he understands joy is not external and interactional. Joy is inherent within us in the mind. Either the mind is grieving or it is rejoicing. There are only two alternates for the mind. Either you have an unpleasant and a grieving mind, or you have a pleasant and a cheerful mind. Both are of the mind. It has got no relationship with external objects. This is a research finding. Do you agree or disagree? Huh? Arey, you are intelligent, Baba. Use your intelligence. When you speak of joy and pleasantness, is it not experiential? This experience belongs to the eye or the eardrum? The eardrum will only hear. The eye will only sense colors. Where is the joy there? The eye is meant to sense colors and shapes. The ear is supposed to sense sounds. The nose smell, and the tongue taste, and the skin touch. Where is the joy coming there? All these sensations can be either joyous or unpleasant. You don't understand. Thoda achhi tarah soch lijiye na. The senses only bring about interactions, and the interactions are categorized as pleasant or unpleasant by the mind. The experience is inner. So this is what I said yesterday. With many things the mind may not be joyous. With nothing the mind can still be joyous. Because joy is an emotion. And the source of this joy is the mind, is the mind, is the mind. The source of grief also is the mind. And the external objects can at best be incidental or occasional or ancillary to the process. Bindu, do you understand what I say? Huh? See, he says that no object in this world I want, and no prospect of the heavens I am looking for. I want to have joy emerging in my mind right here and now. Is there any way, my dear Krishna, whereby I will be able to tap the infinite and endless joy within myself. If you know, then speak. Otherwise, get away from here. Arjuna specifies what he wants. You cannot persuade me to fight saying that if you die, you will get heaven. And if you win, you will get a prosperous kingdom. Both I am not interested. Because my affliction is the grief of my mind. It has to be first of all removed and redressed. Then only I will be composed. I shall have the courage and the will to take up my bow and fight any number of days that you want. Though it is a war picture, the scene is a warfare, and it is before the commencement of the war, and the language is fighting and killing. What is the research that is going on here? Arjuna clearly understood that joy is never external. It is not a corollary of an action. It is not a consequence of an interaction. Joy inheres within, in the mind. The grief also originates from the same mind. So the focal point in our life should be the inner mind, and how to make it permanently and perpetually joyous and delightful. This should be our focus. We are discussing about the spiritual qualities and excellences of the human mind. See how Arjuna imbibes and displays the spiritual quality called discrimination. What? Discrimination. Dispassion. That also is there. And he clearly says, tell me a way whereby my grief will be redressed and the mind will become joyous forever. Are you happy the manner in which Arjuna talks? Huh? What prevents you from talking like that? Huh? Srinivasan is laughing. What prevents you from talking like this? It is an analysis of life. And a great Arjuna makes it. See, he is going to win the war and get all the prosperity, but he says, I am not interested. So the fight cannot be for winning the kingdom. The fight cannot be for gaining the heaven. The fight must have some other note of harmony, some other note of compulsion. I would like to know how this war is placed, how to look at it. It cannot be for winning the kingdom. It cannot be for gaining heaven. But something else of harmony, attunement should be there. This is what he means by Shreyas. So the Shreyas is actually a kind of an inner spiritual delight, glory and splendor, which you will be able to access with the mind and keep within the mind. Instead of seeking joy in this world from anything, try to become joyful forever by nature. I don't know whether I should tell you, but I will tell you. See, we have been conducting this Annavastra Dana Satram for 27 years now. Previously, for many years, particularly at the instance of Purushottama Swamiji, I used to go to many places to distribute and hold it well, speak a few words, etc. Every time I used to go, I am very particular that it should be done properly. First of all, I say, a Nama Sankirtana should be there, unbrokenly from behind. Secondly, we will respect them and receive them with divine prayers and recitations. Thirdly, the distribution should be done in a loving and a kind manner. As you give to the first person, so you must be able to give to the last person. There should be no feeling of superiority as we are givers and they are takers. No harsh words should be spoken. It should be done in a gentle and a kind manner, affectionately given. I was very particular about it. By and large, it is done. When I am done, I will make sure. Now, many people say that when you give it, you must see the smile in their face, this, that and all. You know, I am very busy giving that I never look at their faces. Secondly, I am not able to see it in the manner you do. So when it is well conducted, do you feel joyous if you ask? No. It is quite a harmony for me. But if it is not conducted well, I feel bad about it. Why I am mentioning to you, I am not doing it for the sake of getting joy. No. Whether it is done or not done, it is okay. While we do it, we should do it well. We should do it well. Doing a job well is in the very nature of the job. See, you can do a job well, you can do it in a not well manner. Tell me, what is the option? The active day will pass. The inactive and idle day will also pass. Now, are you going to choose the idle day or the active day? The day will pass in any way. Now, do you want to be idle or do you want to be active? This is the question. So, be given to the activity and do your activity. Let it be giving or let it be taking. Let it be this or let it be that. This is a time when our ashram is very, very busy. Very busy. Our Sridhar would normally like to come and sit here, but he is so busy that he is in the office. Prasanna is very busy, he cannot come here, but he is doing only spiritual work. Initially, you want to be present in the ashram to listen to all these things. After some time, you should get promoted. What is that promotion? Enable others to hear and you facilitate it. So it is a promotion to you. Initially, you were in the schools, now you have become an undergraduate. Then you become a postgraduate student and a doctorate holder. So, I am not looking at the smiling faces, etc. I only want that it should be done properly and well. And in doing it properly and well is my attention. You cannot say I am particularly joyous about it. But if it is not done, I will not agree with it. It will not make me much miserable, but it will be an unpleasant thing. I think you should find a way of activity, an attunement in your activity, which does not look for joy or non-joy in what you do. You should do everything in a joyful manner. See, I am very thoughtful, I am very thoughtful, I am very thoughtful. We have hit upon a Vishnu Sahasranama Vishwa Mahotsava. Now, that means quite a lot of coordination, quite a lot of arrangement. Expenditure also is there. Many things are there. Now, are we prepared for it? We are not prepared, but we will get prepared as it goes on. We will get prepared. It is not my decision. It is a decision of the world. It is a decision of the Creator. It is meant for the welfare of the world. It is Mahavishnu's botheration. Let him come and tell me, don't speak about me, I am already famous, no more fame can be accommodated by me. So please stop speaking about me. If he says, I shall stop. As long as he doesn't say, and his prasiddhi depends upon people like us, naturally we have to uphold him, is it not? Even Mahavishnu is indebted to me because we give him the glory that he has. Suppose we people don't speak about him, poor boy, poor person will become unpopular. You don't believe it, is it not? Don't you feel that why this Swamiji is talking so arrogantly? Don't you feel that? Chennaiyachan? See, I will tell you. Sanagadis are young people, Nitya Brahmacharins, young persons, unmarried. They move about freely anywhere and everywhere. When Sanagadis went to Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijaya, the gatekeepers, stopped them, saying that, what? These young people are coming to Vaikuntha? Are you understanding the story? Ananya. When they went, the gatekeeper stopped them, saying that, a small child like this girl, how can they come to Vaikuntha? Vaikuntha is Mahavishnu's abode. Great, lofty people, aged people with a lot of purity and elegance and all that, they come. These young boys, no, don't come, stop. They said, what? Who are you to stop us? Who are you to stop us? I thought Mahavishnu's abode is a place where Rajoguna, Tamoguna do not play. Only Sattvic people are there. But you are so much fired with Rajas and Tamas, you don't deserve to sit there. So they curse them. Go down. Dissipate and exhaust all your wickedness by 3 Asuric births and come back when purified. They fell. Now which way it worked, you tell me. Now, when passing the gate, they went to Mahavishnu's abode. Mahavishnu got up and greeted them and said, "I am very, very sorry. Why? My gatekeepers have misbehaved." Misbehaved. "And for the misbehavior of my employees, I am responsible. So I am actually guilty that you were not treated and welcomed well. Now you are the people who give me prasiddhi and popularity. So I am indebted to you." You don't understand? Huh? Just see, this is what a Paramahamsa is. A Paramahamsa makes God talk to devotees and makes him speak what you should hear. Except a Paramahamsa, nobody will be able to write in this manner. Now, Vedavyasa gives you a picture where Mahavishnu of Vaikuntha is speaking to young boys like Sanagadis, explaining what he is and how indebted he himself is. So they deserve to be cursed. You have done very well. Let them go to the Asuric births and there are finished everything and come back. This is what Mahavishnu says. Now, people like us, when we talk, God is becoming greater, greater. He becomes more popular. Suppose we are mute and silent, God will be forgotten. He will not become even a legend in this world. Because the human mind is so notorious, it is so worldly. It doesn't want to cling on to anything like truth. So we have to dim it into the minds and the intellects of people. Then only. So the Vishnu Sahasranama Vishwayatna Mahotsava is a plan at least to make Mahavishnu known, and people have something in the way of inner penetrating influence in the way of purity. That is why we are doing it. And both Vishnu, Shiva, along with Brahma, all of them should help us for the purpose. If they don't help, their esteem falls. Even then, Bhumananda Swami will not have a reverse or a setback. Kuch nahi hoga. I wanted to do something good for you, Mr. Vishnu, and you did not agree with. So loss is yours and I gain nothing. This is what I will say. You don't believe it, na? It's a tall talk by your Swami. But I don't know, I like to do all this. I am very happy. See, I was waiting for the day when I can play with God, just like a ball. You know, a kind of a ball which you keep. See, that is the way I wanted. Everybody starts weeping and weeping. Oh, God! You don't come. See, these sorrowful songs. Where is that smiling song? That laughing song? So it comes from a contented heart and a mind. My dear God, come. We shall be happy. We shall be happy. Let us rejoice, play cricket for some time. You know, that kind of a statement you must have. When the mind is free of all desires, all expectations, then you become free like this. Now the point that I was emphasizing is, mind is the genesis of joy. What? Joy is an emotion. Emotion belongs to the mind, and mind alone is the source of joy, and the mind alone is the cause of suffering. Arjuna has clearly understood it. A realization which did not come to him all the 13 years and earlier. Now standing on the chariot, sitting on the chariot, he looks at Krishna and then says, "Nothing in the external world is going to bring me joy, nor a post-death prospect like the heaven will produce joy for me. I know it inheres in the mind. That mind is assailed now by a number of doubts, by a number of questions, a lot of moral and ethical resistance from the mind. I am not able to. So please give me the key or open the joy chamber for me from within my mind." This is what he said. Now you tell me, what are the qualities and excellences of the human mind? What do you mean by a quality? Any quality of the mind should be such that it enriches the mind, enables it to get hold of joy, redress and wipe off all kinds of grief. And by his confession, by his inquiry, by his insistence, Arjuna is presenting a quality. He shows discrimination here, dispassion here, and he shows aspiration, burning aspiration for liberation. You know, there is something called sadhana chatushtayam. What is that? Fourfold prerequisites for liberation seekers. One is called viveka, another is called vairagya, the third is called mumukshutva. The fourth will be a composite of six virtues. All the three he is exhibiting now. How to make the mind deliver joy forever? This is so from the so-called war scene, from the so-called war scene, and from the chariot and the horses, where have we gone now? The question has suddenly become an inner question, a spiritual question, an instantaneous question. They are on the warring front, right in the middle of two armies. But all those things have become insignificant now. They have become irrelevant. And then Arjuna stands as a seeker, and Krishna stands as an illuminer, an enlightener, an answerer now. Now you tell me, is there any world or secular situation which becomes unfit for you to seek the truth? Whether you are on the marriage pandal, wherever you are and whatever you are, the mind has got the privilege and the birthright to seek its destiny and glory. Nothing is a hindrance. Everything is a fillip, an encouragement, a compulsion, a persuasion, an exhortation. Don't live in this world as bodily people, sensory people. Live in this world as mental people, as intelligential people. Live in this world as seekers of immortal glory. Don't live in this world seeking mortal things of the world. You are already mortal by your birth in the body. And how dare you seek mortal things again? Stop! Look for the immortal. Look for the permanent. Stop this game with the outside world. Look into the inner world. Be a master here. Never be a slave. Don't be a routine man, a routine man, a routine man. Try to look for something greater, grander, more glorious. It's all a question of what you seek. Do you seek the mustard, or do you seek the mountain? Or do you seek the endless seas? Or are you a seeker of the infinite space? All are seeking, proceeding from the mind. Mind makes no difference. Only the search is different. So you can live like a puny little creature, building a small family around you, one, two, or three. You can also live in this world, owning up the entire family of the whole universe. Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. The body makes no difference. It is in the mind that all the difference is wrought, all the differences were. He has fought a number of wars earlier. All of them he has won. With that glory he has come, and he is standing in Kurukshetra. But the Kurukshetra Arjuna suddenly became different from all the other Varkshetra Arjunas. Tell me, where was the difference? So the quality of a man is the quality of the mind, the quality of the intelligence. Use them properly. I have said this earlier also, but I would like to say that again with many, many mouths. I have found spirituality to be sweet, glorious, nourishing, beautiful, luminous, and ever rewarding. I have never found it hard and painful. When I put on this dress, it was just like a good-looking girl with a lot of expectation getting married when she wears the bridal sari. If she is going to be happy, I was happier than that when I put on this. Very happy. Every day shaving, I was finding it to be a botheration. And sitting in the barber shop, he will cover me with a cloth. you know, using the same instruments which he is using for all others. I never liked a barber shop visit. Our Colonel Talwar told me, even as a sannyasin, I had to go and sit before them. See? So I have to bend my, and he will. So Colonel Talwar told me, Swamiji, the best will be that you start clipping yourself. I was looking for, how can I tried this, I tried that. Nothing worked. Finally in Malaysia, I got a clipper. When I got the clipper and I started using it, I was very happy. Without any trouble, I used to pass it smooth. Otherwise, it is rubbing and putting soap. Very difficult. So I got another liberation in my life when I got a clipper. So I was so happy with this wonderful dress. Even now, wherever I go, I don't like to sit on another color. So I carry some things. In some places, people suddenly ask me to sit. So I take my uttariyam and spread it. Normally, there will be some people, sometimes they are not very sensitive. So they take 5 minutes. I cannot wait for 5 minutes. So I take my uttariyam, spread it, and then sit. Now, wherever I go, they make a chair, they make a table. Everything is covered like this. Then only I speak, whether it is from Taj Hotel or some other place. Indian Institute of Public Administration, there also it was like that. So please, this is a line of inquiry. This is a human birthright to inquire, to find out where is joy, what is life, what is the impact of life, what is an interaction, where from does it proceed, what is the source of an experience, where do I experience. It is a process of enlightenment. It is a process of enrichment. It is a process of empowerment. It is a process of elevation. It is a process of enlightenment. It is a process of fulfillment. Suppose you get higher marks in your examination, will you be happy or not? I always say, children are bothered about the examination. I tell them, you must be happy and glorious for the examination. If the examination is not held, you will not pass and you will not go to the next class. After 1 year of study, if you get 2.5 hours of examination, should you be happy or unhappy? Huh? But why people are having fever? I don't understand. It should be a day of festivity. Tomorrow is my examination. See, I am going to write all that I have studied for 1 year. So you should be happy about it. If you go score higher and higher marks, so when you become spiritual, you become a better man. You become a more beautiful man, a more flexible man, a more amiable man, a more decorated and ornamented person, a man who will be loved even by the enemy. See, when I used to undertake these public movements, I used to talk, I am a very fiery speaker. Very fiery. I will be very guarded in my speech, but I will crucify all people. Without naming them. One day I was talking. Who are these political parties to stand before us? How old is the first political party in the country? More than a century, maybe 120 years. But you should know, we belong to a tradition which is ageless, thousands and millions of years old. If any political party, including Congress, if they come before me, there will be a piece of cotton. One day I was talking. President is the first citizen of the country. He has all the security under his command, but the citizen has no security. Our president has no right to claim security as long as the citizens of the country are insecure. I declare this and demand from him that he has no right for a security. After all, he is elected by the people. We are his masters. He is our servant. The servant enjoys everything and the master is denied everything. I speak like this. Can anybody oppose? Huh? Why are you keeping quiet? See, I am very defensive in my speech. I go into it. Before I entered into all this, I went to the superintendent of police, Raman Srivastava. I said, I am going to enter into a very critical and delicate moment. Please let me know what I can speak and what I cannot speak. Because people say that I am a very, what is that? What do you call it? Inciting speaker. I say there is no incitement. I inspire the people. Why does it become incitement? So one person was said, after your talk, Swamiji, whatever your audience you ask you to do, they will do. That is your incitement. So that cannot be incitement. So I went and asked him. See, he said, Swamiji, you should not speak anything which will mean something like a criminal element. So the question was, an unauthentic cross was clamped, was put somewhere, and that cross was to be removed. So we should not say, we will remove the cross. So we will get government to do it, you can say. Never say that we shall do. You cannot say, I will enter that place, this, that. So never declare anything in the way of a criminal action. But you can always say, we will force the government to do it. Force the government to do it. Don't say, we will do it. So I got the clue from him. So I started speaking, escalating, and one day I said, see, something should be spoken to inspire people. So I said, the Hindu society is very patient, but there is a limit for the patience, you should understand. So I said, on such and such a day, up to 12 o'clock, midnight, the society will be patient. If the problem is not resolved, all our patience is exhausted. None of us, including the government, will have a right to point their finger at us. We will know what we shall do. I never said what we will do. See, such bombastic statements, when we speak, people get inspired. I did not say what we will do. I said the patients will be exhausted and nobody will have the right to tell us you should not do or you should do. We know what we should do. In this way, something or the other I will manufacture and then start speaking. Why I am telling you all these things, you know, many people said, Swamiji, you are involved in this movement, so don't you think it is anti-spiritual, etc. So I examined the case within myself and I was telling them, see, if it was really bad, then I would feel a constriction and there will be some disturbance in my heart. On the other hand, every time I was feeling, you know, every time I was feeling more and more expansive, more and more fervent, more and more patriotic. This is what I was feeling. It was a joyful endeavor, though very hard and difficult also. So I have found this spirituality very sweet, very nourishing, never a dreary subject. Always, always beautiful, nice, everything good and great. I only find that it is not sensorily, so to say, it is actually a pleasant thing for your mind, intelligence and heart. This I want to say. Because many of you are feeling spirituality is a persecution. Spirituality is a process of privation, penury. It is not so. When you optionally embrace poverty, poverty becomes enriching. What? Now, we are all enriched by poverty. When Ma and Nutun Swamiji, they took up sannyasa, our Prabha was there from Bokaro. So when Ma removed her chain, gold ornaments and bangles, etc., Prabha was saying, when she removed the bangle, I felt bad. So I was saying, why are you feeling bad? The naked hands have their own natural beauty. To that extent, your hand is covered, is it not? Huh? Why do you say that the naked body doesn't have a beauty? You please go to Shravana Biligula, about 100 and odd miles from Bangalore. There is a monolithic statue which is 80 feet tall. A Tirthankara statue. First time I saw such a beautiful statue, a male statue naked. It was looking so beautiful. It was supposed to be declared as the seventh wonder of the world. But instead of that, they declared Taj Mahal. That was supposed to be the 8th wonder or 7th wonder of the world. Anybody has seen? What I say, is it not right? Such a beautiful monolithic statue. 80 feet high. One single stone. There is a mandapa there. That mandapa is resting on four stone pillars. Now, there is a gap between the foot of the mandapam and the foot of the pillar and the mandapam. You can pass a splinter underneath. Four pillars are there. One of them had got damaged. Nobody knows how it remains like that. You understand? Have you seen it? You are a Bangalore resident, Baba. Go and see. See, I saw it maybe 50 years back. See, you can pass a splinter underneath that foot. It will pass through. And the whole mandapam is resting on four pillars on a plinth. Both these things I have seen. So don't think that when you change your clothes, you put on gerua and you shave yourself. I think you are still quite beautiful in your own manner. People with grey hair, they are also looking beautiful. With no hair also, it's another beauty. But we want the inner being to be beautiful. That is our idea. So from the war, Arjuna became a questioner. He became a seeker. And the transformation, the qualitative transformation took place in him rather instantaneously. So there was a transformation. That transformation was a qualitative one. Qualitative transformation. Now, Arjuna has completed his question. Nahi prapasyami mamapanudyat yachoga muchoshanam indriyanam avapya bhumavasapatnam ruddham rajyam suranam apichadhipatya. You know, all our movements are a very religious and ascetic one. So in Guruvayur, what we did was, we did Shayana Pradakshinam there. About 67 people were there along with me. We started rolling. As part of our demonstration, we chant the name of God, undertake Upavasa. We are never aggressive, but we are very persistent and we are very insistent. And the force that we generate is very, very dominant, powerful, overwhelming. Now, he has clearly stipulated, and it is for Krishna to meet the challenge presented by Arjuna. See how he does it. Eva muktva hrishikesham hrishikeshah parantapa nayotsya iti govindam muktva tushdim babhuvaha. After having said this much, initially it was an emotional turbulence and outburst. Now it is a rational presentation and conclusion and a demand. So from the emotional level, Arjuna got elevated to the refined level of rationality, enquiry, and having said whatever he had to say, he says, Nayotsya iti Govindam. I will not fight, my dear Govinda. Tushdim babhuvaha. He became utterly silent. Ha! The greatest wonder the world has ever witnessed. The most valorous fighter who has come to the battlefield with so much of ambition and aspiration to present an overwhelming excellence with his Gandiva and Pashupadastra suddenly had a drift, a kind of an abysmal change, a fall. A man of the body he was so far. Now suddenly he says, I am a man of the mind and heart and intelligence. I was a man of the world. Now I am no more a man of the external world. I am a man of the internal heart, the internal splendor. That is what I want. Saying that, he became utterly silent. Right sitting in the chariot. తమువాజహృషీకేశః ప్రహసన్నివ భారత సేనయోరుభయోర్మధ్యే విషీదం దమిదం వజః తమువాచ హృషీకేశః ప్రహసన్నివ భారత. వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ దట్ యు ఆర్ లుకింగ్ ఫర్? దిస్ ఈస్ వర్స్ నంబర్ 10, సెకండ్ చాప్టర్. తమువాచ హృషీకేశః ప్రహసన్నివ భారత ప్రహసన్నివ భారత. కృష్ణ వాజ్ సో హ్యాపీ దట్ అర్జున సెడ్ లైక్ దిస్, ఫెల్ట్ లైక్ దిస్. Krishna has been a close associate of Arjuna, pampering him left and right, supporting him for doing mischievous items also, thinking that Arjuna would mature and maturate today or tomorrow. All these years it was eluding Arjuna, eluding Krishna also. Now at last, when we alone are there in the battlefield, in the chariot, I have got an opportunity now. What I was looking for all along, to give Arjuna something inner and greater, to make him full, not merely as a fighter, but as a human, elegant person, as an Arya, I was not able to do. Now I have got the golden opportunity. Thank myself, thank Arjuna, thank the heavens. He was very happy. See, whenever you are supposed to advise a person and the person is in grief, you also start. What can you tell him? You are grieved. You are grieving as much as he is grieving. So your words will be only intensifying his grief. So he says, I am very happy, Arjuna, that you have been able to come to this decision and seek shreyas from me. I am very happy. Now listen to me. Now just see the beauty of Gita. I have explained it so many on so many occasions. Now also I will speak perhaps with a difference. Sri Bhagavan Uvaja, Ashochyan Anvashojastvam Prajnavadam Shabhashase Gatasun Agatasumsha Nanushojandi Pandita. Ashochyan Anvashojastvam. See, Krishna's dexterity was in making Arjuna think and presenting the thought process, the spiritual thought process, using the same occasion, the same event, and the same instance. He doesn't ask Arjuna to think differently. He makes him think in the war manner. Ashochyan Anvashochaha. What is your problem, Arjuna? To fight Bhishma and Drona. కథం భీష్మం అహం సంఖ్యే ద్రోణం చ మధుసూదన ఇషుభి ప్రదియోస్యామి పూజార్హావధిసూదన. హౌ కెన్ ఐ డిశ్చార్జ్ పవర్ఫుల్ అండ్ షార్ప్ ఆరోస్ అట్ భీష్మ అండ్ ద్రోణ హూ ఆర్ జస్ట్ టు బి వర్షిప్డ్ అట్ ద వెరీ సైట్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్. సో ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ వర్షిప్పింగ్ దెమ్ విత్ ఫ్లవర్స్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ఎట్ దేర్ ఫీట్, ఐ హ్యావ్ టు సిట్ స్టాండ్ డైరెక్ట్ బిఫోర్ దెమ్ అండ్ సెండ్ షార్ప్ డాట్స్ అగెన్స్ట్ దేర్ బాడీ. How? He says it has to be done, I agree. But how? But how? But how? So his question was focused on Bhishma and Drona and the immorality, the non-ethical nature of such a fight which his mind is not prepared to accept. Even if it is right, I am unable to do it. So Arjuna confessed in this manner. Now Sri Krishna makes that very subject a point of spiritual introspection. I don't know whether you understand my point. See, we have got a habit, somebody has died and you are buried. So we divert the mind, immediately leave the house and go somewhere. I feel very bad. You should not go anywhere. If you have lived with X so long in that house, simply because he has died, you leave the house? Are you a human or an animal? I am very close to him and I stayed so long with him. When he died, I mean, what logic is there? Then what is your love? You know, a devotee of mine, his wife suddenly died. They were living in a house. In a month or so, he left the house. I said, human relationships are so flimsy. Simply because the wife has died. You should not be grieved at all. You are grieving over those people who should not be grieved at all. Who are Bhishma and Drona? You yourself describe them as Mahanubhava. They are people with magnificent, majestic experience. Such people are standing firmly before you. They don't have anything like an agitation, a doubt or a confusion or even unwillingness to fight. And they are your teachers. They are your teachers. One is a grandfather. You say that they wish well of me. So their presence and the possible fight, if they are going to be adverse to you, do you think they would be present here? You don't understand what I say. Huh? You don't understand. If there was something wrong in the war, do you think they would have come? And they are not affected. They are not depressed. They are not agitated. Then why are you agitated? Obviously, there is a difference between you and them. They are Mahanubhavas. You are Alpabhava. You only have a mustard measure of knowledge. They have a magnificent measure of knowledge. Why don't you prostrate before them and then say, By looking at you, I feel very much perturbed. But you are not perturbed. Please let me know why you are stable, why you are poised. Pass on that stability and poise to me so that I can fight. Can you not say like that? Instead of that, what are you saying? As if you know better than them. How can I fight them? They are going to fight you. That is why they have become the commanders in chief before you. They say, penetrate this army by hitting us first. We will not allow you to get in unless you fight and confront us. This is what both of them are saying. So a war that is acceptable, harmonious, elegant and fulfilling to them, how can the same war be otherwise for you? Just see. From the dejectional mind, Krishna treats Arjuna's intelligence to the philosophical, the rational, the spiritual and the elegant one. The situation remains the same. The occasion remains the same. The consequences are the same. Only in the attitude there is a difference. Not clear? Huh? Every time. Somebody has died. You have died. As if I will not die. You have died first. I am going to die after some time. So should you grieve for the death or should you grieve for yourself? See, there is no meaning. Why don't you look at life as a totality? As a totality. The world has a certain course. People are getting born. They are growing. After some time, the body declines. Finally, the body dies. This is the rule. Sometimes there is an exception, a rare rule, whereby young people will die first and old people will live longer. Normally, the rule is old will die, leaving the young. Rarely a young dies, leaving the old. That is also part of the world. Is the world your design? No. Are you not living in it? Yes. Live in it harmoniously, understandingly, reconcilingly, getting enriched by every situation in front. It is your ignorance, your constriction, your mental blocks that put you into trouble. I am driving you in this chariot as a sarathi. Every movement that you make, I am the leader, I am responsible. So in this war, your role and my role, Arjuna, are equal in a way you can say. And I don't find perturbed or dislodged. Why is it that you are, but Bhishma and Drona are not? Obviously, there is a deficiency in you. There is a lacuna in you. There is a failure in you. There is a constriction in you. Try to get exposed to it and remedy it. Therein lies the answer. Thank God the Kurukshetra war came, at least to make you think deeper in this manner. Ashochyan anyashochaha. I think this is an advice for everyone in this world at every time. Whenever you grieve, Bhagavad Gita says, Ashochyan anyashochaha. Ashochyan Anvashodha. What are you grieving over? Either death, disease, poverty. Death, disease. This is all we are suffering from. You are grieving over. You mean to say all people everywhere in this world are reasonably resourceful now? I don't know whether our Prasanna has got a picture. Prasanna, do you have that picture? African picture? Huh? Prasanna? Okay, not necessary, Prasanna. See, there is a picture. Two pictures are there. One picture. There is a lot of famine, poverty, nothing in the way of food. A child is slowly and gently creeping towards a place where food is said to be given, distributed. An eagle is waiting behind. The eagle is waiting until this child dies to pick the dead body. This picture was taken by a photographer. And it seems he died within 2 months or so. Because of the torment it produced. Another picture, a cow is passing urine. There is no water to drink. One man goes, drinks that urine. See, I am a person who has drunk urine in my young days, not because lack of water. But as a medicine, we were asked to collect urine afresh. And then we have a method of doing it. So you should understand, due to lack of water, and we are all rich and poor and resourceful, this is what we say. Can you remove the imbalances of the world any time? Very recently the story came in. The terrifying Bengal famine, when it was on, 3 or 4 shiploads of wheat were about to come to Calcutta airport. And it seems Winston Churchill, Calcutta port, then Winston Churchill said, no, it should not be moved. They should die. You didn't know? You have not read about it? What is this world? Can I get into Winston Churchill and make his tongue speak differently? One Napoleon, one Hitler. One Hitler. I can understand one man becoming wicked. But how is it that thousands and thousands followed him? People were simply put into the gas chambers. Push! Everybody died. And he could do it gloriously for quite a few days, weeks or months. I am not finding fault with Hitler. Because if I find fault with him, it will be a partial finding. Let me go into the genesis of the human mind. Who created the mind? Where from did he imbibe this wickedness? He was in a world. Some misbehavior, or at least seeming misbehavior, affected him, and he wanted to come up with a kind of a revenge. Now all these things are hanging in the sky, upon the earth. Whom will you explain to? Whom will you look for an explanation? If you are good, thank the heavens and keep quiet. But never blame the wicked and the wrongdoer. Where is the right for you? Both of us are born innocently from the parents. When you grew, you found yourself gentle. When the other grew, he found himself wicked. As you are gentle, he is wicked. If you were wicked, what will you do? Thank God that you are not. Keep quiet. The world has its own set and unset courses. Live in tune with them, in harmony with them. Never question them. This war has not occurred simply because of you alone, Arjuna. 45 lakhs of warriors have come here with individual will and resolve to fight, either to kill or to get killed. You are not the sole person responsible for such a large assembly. Everyone has come individually. There is a fighting inspiration in man, a fighting instigation in man, a fighting compulsion in man. That compulsion is introduced by, instilled and preserved by nature. That nature will not answer you, respond to you. It will remain invincible, inexorable in its own manner. You have nothing to say. Get reconciled with. There is a reason why Bhishma and Drona are here. They would have very much wanted to leave that party and come to you, but they will not. When Duryodhana asked Bhishma, he came and prostrated before me. Pitamaha, you should become my commander in chief. He said, no, I will not. Finally, he said, yes, but understand, Pandavas are as dear to me as you are. I will fight for you. I will kill 10,000 people every day. But mind you, I cannot block my mind towards Pandavas. They are also dear and near to me. What do you say? You only know one side of human life. My children are good. I am good. We like together. Birthdays are celebrated. Marriage anniversaries also are honored. But think of Bhishma's family. Think of Vyasa's children, grandchildren. What happened there? Bhishma and Drona were right from the beginning in the Hastinapura. This Hastinapura was divided. Indraprastha was given. When Indraprastha was given, Bhishma and Drona could not go with Yudhishthira. They were wedded to that place and they remained there. Now a war took place between the brothers. Let the fight be on. We will be where we are. In spite of our presence, he said very clearly, Duryodhana, you cannot win. I will fight, but you cannot win. Because you are wicked, because you are unrighteous. Why don't you go and understand this? Bhishma and Drona are not accidentally there. They are incidentally there. They are there with a resolve, with spiritual sanction, moral sanction, ethical sanction. They are conforming to the hidden note of harmony of nature. There is nothing wrong. The wrong is in your mind. Ashochyan anvashojaha. You grieve over the dying or the dead. By any extent of tears, can you get back? Can you get back? Can you get back the dead? See, I remember four lines which I have studied during my study days. Can storied urn or animated bust back to its mansion call the fleeting breath? Can honor's voice provoke the silent dust or flattery soothe the dull cold ear of death? Did you understand the meaning? Can storied decorated urn, urn is a place where ash is kept. Can storied urn or animated bust? People start putting the animated bust in honor of the departed people, is it not? Can storied urn or animated bust back to its mansion call the fleeting breath? The breath that has fleeted off, can it be brought back by these depictions? Can honor's voice provoke the silent dust? See, the people are buried. This is from the elegy written in a country churchyard by Thomas Gray. Can honor's voice, you are praising somebody, performing shraddha, ceremonies, etc., provoke the silent dust? Can it provoke the people who are lying? Can honor's voice provoke the silent dust or flattery soothe the dull cold ear of death? By flattering a departed man, can you soothe the ears of that man? These are the only lines I liked. Not the usual lines which others like, but these had very great fondness and inspiration for me. Can storied urn or animated bust back to its mansion call the fleeting breath? Can honor's voice provoke the silent dust or flattery soothe the dull cold ear of death? Oh, what a cry. He has died, you will also die. Causing tears in others' hands, the succession goes on, goes on, goes on. Do you like to be illumined? Do you like to be harmonious? Do you like to be a better and a refined human? Then Arjuna, reflect upon, activate your intelligence, think about it, imbibe the spiritual quality and excellence of being thoughtful and introspecting, particularly truthful introspection you take. Am I talking something sensible? I always wonder, what is the point in talking like this? Again you complain about your mind. Okay. Prabuddham vimuktam vikaradihinam prasannam sadanitya bodhaswarupam param nischalam nirgunam sarvarupam bhajeham sadanusmarami pranayami. Prabuddham vimuktam vikaradihinam prasannam sadanitya bodhaswarupam param nischalam nirgunam sarvarupam bhajeham sadanusmarami pranayami. Hari Om Tassa.